Chapter 21.
Call her back, Staven, Iden urged. We're on borrowed time as it is.
Have you ever tried making Nadrine do something she doesn't want to do?
Staven said. He meant it as a joke, but she could tell he was growing increasingly worried. Another minute ticked by. Two. Sealed inside the cistern of poisoned water, Emok was still shouting out pleas. Well, we know he can swim, Iden thought.
Okay, I'm in the Speeda and heading back,
Nadrine said. Iden relaxed ever so slightly and put her helm back on.
Good. Let's get the hell out of here.
He clicked on his comlink.
Azen, Gid, head down and pick us up where you dropped us off.
Roger that,
came Azen's voice.
Kaiv, do you copy? Stun them and head on out to the rendezvous.
Got it.
Iden stamped on the closed door of the cistern before she left, climbing down the ramp affixed to the huge container.
Nadrine, said Staven as he dropped the last few rungs. Where the hell...
Blasterfire screamed through the door. Damn it, Iden thought as she and Azen fired back. If it hadn't been for Nadrine wanting more images, they'd have been safely in the shuttle by now, able to flee just ahead of the pursuing security vessels that would be sent out. The plan had been so perfect... And yet, even as she had the thought, she heard her father's voice in her mind.
There is no foolproof recipe for success. There is only the best chance of success.
Hazen, Gid, get yourselves here now!
Staven shouted into his comlink over the sound of blaster fire.
Nadrine, meet us at the rendezvous. Look sharp, we've got troopers.
I'm coming as fast as I can,
Nadrine cried.
No pursuit so far!
Staven,
and Kaeve's voice was high with tension.
I stunned the family, but somehow security's been alerted.
We'll come to get you,
Staven said. He and Iden kept firing, and then there was silence from outside. But Iden still heard the sound of blaster fire coming through Staven's comlink.
You can't,
and Kaeve was now shouting to be heard above the shriek that was starting to drown out his words.
Five of them! Troopers!
Another shot. Then silence.
Kaeve!
Said Staven. Then louder.
Kaeve!
Staven pressed his lips together in a grim line. Their chances had been good, but Nadrine might have doomed them all. Gideon ground his teeth in frustration as the shuttle headed toward Staven's coordinates. Damn Nadrine anyway. Everything would have been fine. The Dreamers had gotten what they'd come for. There had been no need to dawdle over fake canisters. He'd instructed the droid to activate the homing beacon Dell had placed on the shuttle before they left, with plenty of time to both escape and put up a fight. With Nadrine's delay, security would have been there any... The vessel rocked violently from a glancing hit.
Minute. What the hell?
Azen shouted.
How did they find us?
No time for questions!
Gideon yelled back.
I fly, you fire. Got it?
The JSEC security vessel was responsive as such things went, but it felt that he was piloting through mud. He brought it up as fast as he could. The good and bad news was that the three Imperial ships firing on them were TIEs. Good, because Gideon was so familiar with them, he could mount a good defense. And bad because, well, they were TIEs. It felt odd to line up the familiar vessel in his sights, but he did so. Azen apparently had no qualms about firing on an Imperial starfighter either. He blasted it to pieces and shouted,
"Give me another!"
Considering the TIE pilots were trying to kill them, Gideon obliged as fast as he could. He banked hard to the left, almost but not quite escaping bolts of green laser energy. The ship shuddered again. The console started to smoke.
Droid, get on that!
Gideon ordered, and the droid immediately set to work. Gideon completed the maneuver and swung back around to see the TIE that had hit them clearly preparing for a second shot.
Get it!
Gideon shouted. And grunting with anger and effort, Azen did so. It was strange to be happy to see a TIE fighter explode.
Another coming in on your right!
Azen warned. Gideon swerved hard in that direction, going under and up from beneath the one remaining ship. Both men cheered as Azen got it in his sights and fired. Grinning, Gideon glanced down at the console.
All clear,
he said.
Let's get to Staven. And hope we're not too late, Gideon thought.
Iden and Staven stood outside in the deceptive quiet. Sprawled on the ground were two scout troopers, their speeder bikes a few meters away.
Nadrine, Staven said into his comlink, where are you? There are biker scouts out here, so be...
I think I found them,
came Nadrine's voice. She was barely audible over the sound of the roaring speeder and the shrieks of blasters. Staven looked at Iden. For the first time, there was nothing cold or sullen or mirthful about his face. His emotions were naked and on display, and he was terrified for someone he loved.
I got one of them,
came Nadrine's voice. Then a sudden volley of blaster fire. Then nothing.
Nadrine!
Staven said. The hand that held the blaster trembled.
Nadrine! Answer me!
We got company,
Iden said. Her HUD had alerted her to an incoming vessel, and it wasn't the JSEC security fighter. Staven didn't reply. She turned to look at him. He was staring, frozen at his comlink, straining to listen. To hear the voice of someone who would never speak again.
Staven,
she said again, sharply this time.
Snap to it, soldier!
He blinked, as if coming out of a trance, and looked up. The comlink fell from his fingers. The very familiar shape of a Lambda-class T-4A shuttle was now visible with the naked eye. This wasn't how it was supposed to end, Iden thought. But life or death rarely unfolded as it was supposed to. She grimly lifted her blaster, a feeble and utterly futile gesture against a ship armed with laser cannons. Beside her, Staven did the same. Calm in the face of her death, Iden found herself wondering whether the vessel would land and disgorge its contents of 20 stormtroopers, or just take them out in a volley of cannon fire. She would never find out. A green streak sliced through the night sky. Fire blossomed on one of the T-4A's wings. More laser fire, and the ship began to wobble, imbalanced, as it tried to loop around to return fire. Another strike at its wings, and then again at its engines. The shuttle got off a laser cannon volley, but it came nowhere near its target. The JSEC vessel dove beneath it, fired up, and got out of the way as the ship, its engines and wings both damaged, crashed into the landscape about half a kilometer away. Iden could hardly believe it. She half laughed, half gasped, as the familiar ship settled down and the ramp extended. 10 seconds later, Iden and Staven were on board. Azen looked back at them.
Where are Nadrine and Kaif?
Gone, said Staven, his voice a harsh rasp. Get us out of here.
We may have company very soon, Gideon said. Get in your crash webbing.
They had barely done so when the ship lifted off, soaring almost completely vertically upward, breaking through the wisps of cloud up to open space. Then the stars turned into white streaks. Iden exhaled and closed her eyes for a moment, preparing for the next step.
What happened? Azen demanded. What went wrong?
No idea, Staven said. He still looked disoriented and disconcertingly blank.
He pressed the heels of his hands against his temples, as if physically forcing himself to think, his mind to clear.
Could someone have a homing beacon on the ship without us knowing?
Iden said. The next step in springing the trap.
Impossible, scoffed Azen. We were both here in the ship the whole time.
Never left this console except when I hit the restroom,
Gideon said. He feigned a look of concern.
Still, hell, it's worth checking at least.
Droid, check the ship for any tracking devices.
The droid beeped acknowledgement and hovered off. There was silence for a while. As Gideon checked the ship for damage and the droid went about its inspection, Staven rose at one point and went back to the ship's galley. Over the quiet hum of the vessel, she heard the distinctive clinking sound of a bottle against a glass rim and the sloshing of liquid. Staven returned, carrying both bottle and drained glass, and poured himself another shot.
The sound of the droid beeping shrilly startled all of them. It sped back, moving anxiously, holding something in one of its pincers.
What the...
Gideon said, as the droid dropped the item into his hand. He lifted his head and turned to look at Azen. Pure loathing contorted his handsome features.
You lying sack of...
He lunged for the startled Azen, wrapping one hand around the man's throat and keeping his other hand clenched around the object the droid had found.
Gid, no!
Aiden shouted. Staven sprang into action, dropping glass and bottle as he inserted himself between the two now-fighting men. He shoved Gideon backward and forced open the pilot's hand. Staven stared at what Gideon held.
It's a homing beacon,
he muttered. Aiden rose and went to look at it. Not Imperial, she said.
No,
Staven said. This is one of ours. The droid made several beeping and chirping noises.
The droid found it on the inside, Gideon said, which means that he planted it.
He stabbed an angry finger at Azen.
Me,
yelped Azen. Why would I want to do that?
He was alone when I used the restroom, Gideon said. He could easily...
Aiden, Staven said. Give me your blaster. She did. And he lifted it up so that it was trained on her. She blinked.
What?
Go get three sets of stun cuffs. Put one on Gideon and one on yourself and give the third to me. All I know right now is that Nadrine is dead and Kaeve too. And one of you three is responsible.
I was with you the whole...
Aiden began.
You might not have planted it yourself, but I've never really trusted you, Aiden. So Azen will take us home, and you and Gid will sit in cuffs until we get there, and then we'll find out who did this, and once we do...
His lips curved in that ugly, cruel smile. The Dreamers are gonna have some sport. Aiden stayed calm. This was all playing out as expected. The only thing they hadn't accounted for was that Staven appeared dangerously unstable from grief. Fortunately, he refrained from killing anyone before Azen had brought the damaged ship down. He extended the ramp, and Aiden, Gideon, and Azen, now also in stun cuffs, preceded him. Staven had alerted his people to meet the shuttle, and now they all stared with various expressions of shock and anger as he explained what had happened.
Piakow! Del! He shouted, his voice ragged with pain. Check the ship for sabotage. Aiden, Azen, Gid, on your knees. Hands behind your head.
Dana glanced at Aiden.
Staven? Do it!
This was not the time to protest, and clearly Dana recognized that. Staven looked like he was clinging to sanity by the thinnest of threads, and his fingers clearly itched to blow the traitors away. Probably the only thing that restrained him was a desire to know what they had done that had made things go so horribly wrong. Aiden knelt and placed her hands behind her head.
We don't leave until we've checked out the ship, Staven continued. None of us.
Someone had brought extra glow rods. Del, more mobile than Piakow, began to inspect the vessel itself, while the Chadrafan analyzed the ship's computer. Aiden was glad of this. It would be much better if Piakow came across what Del had labored first so hard to create than to conceal it until the time was right. No one said anything. Dana handed out water to everyone. Staven waved his away, his attention fixed on Gideon, Azen, and mostly Aiden. Time passed. Aiden's legs and arms began to cramp. But given Staven's twitchy fingers, she didn't dare move. Finally, Piakow appeared on the ramp.
Staven, he said, please come here.
Aiden's heart sped up. Something was about to happen that might well see her dead within the next 3 minutes.
Rue, Staven said, keep an eye on him.
Rue nodded, taking Staven's blaster and training it on the captives. The Coggy's eyes were cold despite their warm tint. The seconds went by, then a minute. Then two. Staven appeared on the ramp.
Swift as a snake strike, he snatched the blaster from Rue's grasp, closed the distance between himself and... Azen!
and slammed the butt of the weapon against his head. Iden sagged forward, the relief making her feel weak. Dana extended a hand to help her up. She accepted, wincing at the stiffness as life rushed into numb limbs. Beside her, Rue assisted Gideon as he got to his feet. Dana unfastened her stun cuffs, her purple eyes wide with shock. "What the hell?" grated Azen, hand clapped to his bloodied skull. "Tell them!" shouted Staven. "Tell them what you found, Pia Cow!" More subdued than she had ever seen the lively chatter fan before, Pia Cow obliged. In a low voice that conveyed his shock, he spoke of listening in disbelief to what he fully believed he had heard, what anyone without access to highly complex equipment would have believed they heard. Recorded conversations Azen had conducted with someone in Imperial Intelligence. And finally, he listed various identities Azen had utilized in these conversations. Conversations that Del had cobbled together from bits and pieces of the logs Azen had recorded over the months he was at JSEC with a bit of creative doctoring. Then, his ears drooping, Pia Cow returned to the cockpit. There was a stunned silence. "So what it tells me," Staven said in an unnaturally calm voice, "is that the entire time I've known you, Azen, you've been planning to turn us over to the Empire." "It's not true." Azen looked around frantically, still bleeding, finding no sympathy in the eyes of people who had trusted him. "I would never betray you." His wide-eyed gaze fell on Iden, and he spat out blood and a tooth in her direction. "You," he growled. "You did this to me." "Me?" Iden did her best to look shocked. "Why would I want to do this?" She turned to Staven. He was shaking, his fists clenched, ready, eager to take another swing at the traitor. "Staven, I've given you several codes, pieces of intel, and all of them have been successful. And just now, I'm the one who got what we needed out of Akagarty. Some of these missions have had high Imperial body count. Why would I participate in that if I were working for the Empire?" Still reeling from the revelation, Staven grasped at the straw Azen offered. Maybe you're a double agent," Staven spat at Iden. "Maybe you set this up and it's all a trick. I don't even have a code to that ship's computer. I was under house arrest when I flew it," Iden replied. "You've all watched me like a sheerhawk. When the hell did I have time to do anything? If I were that brilliant, I'd be the damned Empress." At that moment, Pia Cow again appeared at the top of the ramp.
"It took me a little while, but now that I've been able to get into the databanks, I've uncovered an entire sublevel of Imperial intel."
"Intel that is all false, except for what it says about Azen," Iden thought. She bit the inside of her cheek so that she didn't smile. Del and Sen had outdone themselves, and in so short a time.
"I've run some checks on the code names. Staven, there are even pictures. It's him. It's true."
All the color drained from Azen's normally florid face until his skin was a sickly, milky shade. Iden rejoiced fiercely. He knew he was beaten. "How did you do it?" he whispered, turning to look at her through a drying mask of blood on his face. "You couldn't possibly know any of this. What did you do? What did you do?" She scoffed in disbelief. "Me? Not a damn thing. But you," she smiled cruelly, "you just doomed yourself." He sagged, then lifted his head. He knew better than to look to Staven. There would be no forgiveness there. So he looked to a gentler man. But even the mentor, it seemed, had his limits. His brow was knotted and his blue eyes blazed in righteous anger. "So many in this galaxy are born into their fates," he said. "They labor and suffer and die, unable to alter them, unable sometimes even to hope that something will change. I've lost people I loved fighting for those who couldn't fight for themselves, who couldn't choose. You were one of the lucky ones who could, Azen, and you chose the Empire. You chose to betray those who believed you to be a friend. Don't you dare look to me for mercy. I've stood in both places of this war, too. But I made a decision. And I will live or die by my choice. Kaeve and Nadrine did die for theirs. You will die for nothing. Azen looked like a trapped animal who felt the net closing in. But it was too late for any escape, any appeal for sympathy. He'd never been a pleasant person, not to anyone. Tell us what you know, Staven said. His voice was flat, dead, which was somehow more sinister than his fury. And you'll make it quick, is that it? Azen shook his head, recovering some composure, some little shred of dignity. No, I refuse. Now, at the end, he was finally behaving like an Imperial, Aiden thought. A sort of energy went through those gathered. They knew what that meant. Aiden did too. She'd seen reports for what partisans did for information. The Empire performed torture as well, from time to time, as necessary. But it was more elegant. It caused pain without damage. Well, physical damage, at least. The Dreamers would not be so scrupulous. You're going to have to work for everything you get from me, Azen said. Don't worry, said Staven. We will. They did. It took 7 hours for Azen to die.